Shep and Sandy were now working with Charles Rodriguez on a plea arrangement. There was still a long road ahead for Danny. He had killed two little girls, and even understanding that he'd been influenced by a savvy outsider didn't change that fact. There should be barriers in all of this, the DA had argued this morning. Lines we should know better than to cross. And one of those barriers should be resistance to taking human life. Danny hadn't possessed that barrier, and that had to be addressed. In the end, it appeared that Danny would enter an admission to the charge of aggravated murder in return for a guarantee of remaining under juvenile court's jurisdiction. There, he would receive a disposition of serving at a youth correctional facility for a period not to exceed his 25th birthday. The Oregon Youth Authority would formally assume custody over him, conducting a new mental health assessment and providing resources for his treatment. It would be up to the OYA to determine when he was ready for parole. Sandy and Shep put their house up for sale. Chances were that Danny would end up at the Hillcrest facility in Salem, so they were looking to relocate there. Shep was interviewing with various security companies. Though most suspected that he'd engineered the car crash that allowed Danny to escape, there was no proof of wrongdoing, so his record remained clear. Sandy wanted to focus on her children and become more active in reforming juvenile law. Technically, they remained married. Though the last time Rainey had seen them, she'd witnessed few moments of intimacy. She had a feeling they'd reached a point of living together, but separately. Maybe they thought it was better that way for Becky. Rainey reached the bottom of the courthouse steps. She was trying to decide whether to head immediately to her car or spend the rest of the sunny afternoon walking around town when she heard a voice behind her. "Hello, Rainey." Rainey turned and spotted him immediately. She smiled before she thought to stop herself, and then it was too late to take it back. Quincy leaned against the stone wall, wearing one of his expensively cut suits and a conservative blue tie. It had been 2 weeks since she'd last seen him. Following the scene on the mountainside, he'd flown immediately to the sites of the other Hawkins school shootings to handle the reopening of those cases. She imagined he'd been flying all over the country since, interviewing youths and juggling more crime scene photos.